What a good and glorious day it is to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I am grateful that God woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. We're grateful that we have gotten, God has given us another, yet another day to enter into his house of worship and into his house of prayer so that we may worship him in spirit and in truth. What a mighty God we serve. We are so grateful, amen, and thankful that on this day that our children, our youth led us as well as we watched the rites of passage. And I know that there is a rites of passage in the world where there are gangs and other entities that take hold of our youth. And it's good to know that your church is instrumental in giving our youth a rites of passage in the Lord, that there are some things that we have to pass on to the next generation. And so we're grateful for all of the teachers, all of those who work with our youth on a regular basis. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. To experience that on this day. Well, it is preaching time, and we pray that again you would pray with me as I share God's word. Let's pray together, and we'll jump right in to hear what the Lord has to say out of the third chapter of Habakkuk. This is we're concluding our series, answering life's tough questions, and we're concluding the series on today. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, how we love and thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace. Thank you, oh God, that you have allowed us yet another opportunity to enter into your house of worship. We pray, oh God, that we will continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, especially as we worship you through the word. We pray in particular, oh God, that you will allow your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we thank you for what you are about to say to us through your prophet Habakkuk. We pray that you hide me behind the cross that they may see none of me but all of thee. And certainly, oh God, when it's all said and done, we'll give you all praise, all glory, and all honor which is already yours. It is in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus we do pray. And together every child of God said amen and amen. Listen, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. And those of you who've been following along with us, I know that we are at the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to read in our hearing today verses 17 through 18 through 19. However, we will contextually be preaching from the third verse all the way to the 19th verse, but for the brevity of time, I just want to read the last three verses in our hearing, and we'll touch on the remainder of the verses. It reads as follows, verse 17, a third chapter of Habakkuk. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me tread on high places. I just want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. God, will it get any better? This is the final of questions out of the book of Habakkuk. Will it get any better? Listen, many look at the book of Habakkuk as a book of pessimism, but Habakkuk is not a pessimist, he's a realist. As we look at the last verses, we see him literally become an optimist. And although it looks bleak, he sees a bigger and better and brighter day. He has asked and had found answers to hard questions such as, God, are you really there? And God, are you sure you know what you're doing? And God, how am I supposed to live? And he asks also, God, is there any hope? And can you send revival? And at first, beloved, there seems to be no positive answers to any of those hard questions. But Habakkuk begins to see things from an eternal standpoint. He begins to look through the providential eyes of God. And as we come, beloved, to this last section, we find an answer to another hard question, the last of the hard questions. God, will it get any better? And as we are still paused in this pandemic, we ask the very same question, God, will it get any better? As we are dealing with social injustice and other things that are going on in our world, in our society, even in our country, God, will it get any better? And I believe, beloved, that Habakkuk helps us to answer that question on this day. First of all, when you look at the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, we begin to see first, watch, we'll see what amazed Habakkuk. Here it is. Habakkuk begins to picture a future of redemption from past events. When you get to the third verse of the third chapter, the background is of Exodus and what took place at Mount Sinai in the days of Moses. However, Habakkuk not only sees history, but he sees prophecy as well. He sees the New Testament realities in the mold of Old Testament types and figures. God granted him the gift of seeing history as he sees it. And so the prophet behold events that lie centuries and millenniums apart. First, he sees how God will arrive. Verse 3, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Teman was the southernmost city of Edom. Paran was the wilderness region in the eastern central part of Sinai. And Teman and Paran represent the whole district south of Judah. This is the region where the law of God was written with the finger of God and given to Moses, the man of God. We read in verse 4 that his brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. The word brightness there refers to the glory of God that permeated the mount where the law was given. In fact, you'll remember that when Moses came down from the mount, his face was shining with the glory of God. That is the highlight there in verse 4. And in verse 5 is a reference to the plagues in Egypt. He went before pestilence and plague followed at his heel. Verse 6 says, he stood and measured the earth and he looked and shook the nations, and then the eternal mountains were scattered and the everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. Now, note, beloved, what Habakkuk saw can not only be interpreted historically, but also prophetically. Because the word Teman in verse 3 is both a person and a place. The Hebrew word for Teman is Yamin, which means to be right or on the right side. Hear me. And that's where we get out of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, we have such a high priest seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens. Teman was also the name of Esau's grandson. Esau was the father of the Edomites. The Hebrew word for Edom is Adam. In other words, Edom is Adam and Adam is man. God came from Teman or from Adam or from the seed of woman. And Habakkuk literally is seeing the incarnation and the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It is interpreted historically when you go back to Egypt, but also prophetically because because Habakkuk is seeing Jesus Christ in the flesh. Are you listening to me? Habakkuk held a day when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He uses the word brightness in verse 4 in prophecy, which literally speaks of brilliance, and it comes from the root word, which means to glitter or to shine. And when you read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we know of Jesus Christ is described as being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Watch this. Habakkuk saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only saw Christ in history, but he saw Him in prophecy. He not only saw the promise, but he saw the fulfillment. He saw how God in the person of Jesus Christ stepped out of the written word to become the living word. He saw the grace and the glory and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw how God arrived, but also he saw how God conquered. Watch this. Habakkuk's revelation of how God conquered is revealed in verses 8 and 11. In verse 8, Habakkuk makes a reference to the exodus from Egypt by way of the Red Sea, where God's anger was displayed against the rivers and His wrath against the seas. And He did ride his horses and His chariots of salvation. It reminds me, beloved, of a little boy who came bursting out of Sunday school like a wild stallion, only to look for his dad. He grabbed his dad by the leg and said, "Dad, listen, that story of Moses and all those people crossing the Red Sea was a great story." His father smiled and said, "Son, tell me about it." He said, "Well, the Israelites got out of Egypt, but Pharaoh and his army chased after them. So they ran as fast as they could till they got to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was getting closer, so Moses got on his walkie-talkie and told the Israeli Air Force to bomb the Egyptians. And while that was happening, the Israeli Navy built a pontoon bridge so that the people could cross over the Red Sea. And Dad, they made it." Now the dad was shocked and said, "Now, son, is that really the way they taught the story in Sunday school?" He said, "Well, no, not exactly, Dad. But if I told you the way my teacher told it to us, you'd never believe me." Hear me, beloved. We laugh, but when we read Habakkuk, he tells the story just how it happened. He saw how the enemies of God were conquered. However, he looks into the future and he sees humanity's final battle, where the Lord Jesus Christ will ride His chariots of salvation to win victory over the world and the devil. And in verse 9, he makes reference to the bow calling for many arrows. He is referring to the promises of God given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is reminded that Jehovah is a covenant-keeping God who will bring fulfillment every promise He has made. And in verse 11, we see two times of human history when the sun and the moon stood still. The first time was in Joshua 11 during the conquest of Canaan. The second time was at the cross when there was darkness over all the earth and the sun was darkened. However, the next time the sun and the moon stand still will be in heaven. It is described in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 19, where it says, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God and your glory. Listen, he saw how God came, but he also saw how God conquered. conquer, but he also sees again how God continues. Listen, God wasn't finished after he saw how he came and conquered. In verse 12 through 15, he continues to march victoriously. Habakkuk saw God dealing on the behalf of his people in days gone by, but he also saw how God was dealing with his people on behalf of days to come. He saw God going out for the salvation of his people, for the salvation of the anointed in verse 13. He was just indicating that just like God intervened in the time that he rescued his people in history, he says God will also intervene just in time to rescue his people in prophecy. Ultimately, in verse 15, Habakkuk saw the end of earth's final battle when the Lord Jesus would trample the sea with his horses through the surging of mighty waters. Habakkuk sees a day of destruction and devastation, disease and distress, but he also sees a day when the Lord Jesus will defeat all enemies, have dominion over all the earth, and deliver all of his people. In other words, Habakkuk looked to the future to see how God will come, conquer, and continue. Only to conclude that it matters not if it's in the past, the present, or the future. Here it is, God wins. That's what we see at the end of Habakkuk. Through all of the trials, through all of the tribulation, through all of the toil, through all of the difficulty, through all of that the children of Israel, yea, and the people of God will have to go through, in the end, God wins. I hope somebody hears me right there. In the end, when all of this destruction and devastation and all this is over, in the end, God wins. That ought to be good news for the people of God today, that that is the culmination of what we're trying to get through and get to. That's what we're living for, that although there's trials and tribulations on this side, in the end, we win. Ooh, help me hear somebody. And that ought to be good consolation to all of us, because it matters not how bleak our situation is, or how burdening our soul may be, or how bewildered our state of affairs. Thanks be to God, we are on the winning side. I hope somebody hears me today. Jesus has already fought the battle. He has already won the war. We're not fighting to victory. We're fighting from victory. We're not victims. We are victors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us. And we can say with a songwriter, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Tell me, who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. And right where you are, listen, beloved, why don't you just throw your hands up and give God some praise, that although you're still going through it, you win in the end. That although it's tough, although it's challenging, although it's difficulty, in the end, we win. So you ought to just praise him. You ought to just give him thanks. You ought to just shout hallelujah, glory be to his name. And listen, beloved, we ought to give God praise, because we win in the end. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, we see what amazed Habakkuk, but watch what affirmed Habakkuk. Watch this. Throughout the prophet's time, he wondered if there was any hope. He has repeatedly questioned the plan and the purpose and the patience of God. And however, in this section, there seems to be no doubt as to what Habakkuk believes. He is stable, he is solid, and he is sure, for he believes that there is going to be a brighter day for the people of God. God. Listen, beloved, Habakkuk is deeply moved at what he heard. Listen, what he saw and what he felt. He is stirred to his soul over what he had beheld, and now he begins to outline his own personal statement of faith. Notice, beloved, that he trembles at the power of God. This theophany had come and gone. The heavens had opened up to unveil the historic and prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ. However, Habakkuk is now brought back to reality and to a land that is still filled with iniquity and idolatry. He sees a land, as John Phillips says, that was still a pawn in the chess game of the superpowers. He sees a land that is still weakened by her sins, a land that would be totally and completely and utterly destroyed by the ruthless Chaldeans. And notice the effects of it. Habakkuk says that the sight of it caused his body to tremble. And in verse 16, he says, my lip quivered at the sound, rottenness entered into my bones, and my legs trembled beneath me. In other words, Habakkuk trembles at the marvelous and miraculous and mighty power of God. Listen, beloved, I'm trying to tell you that you cannot dismiss God. It reminds me that when Napoleon proposed to invade Russia, one of his generals said to him, man proposes, but only God disposes. And so the haughty, prideful Napoleon heard the remark and said, no, I propose and I dispose. Now, Napoleon was saying that I'm in charge and God is not. However, when Napoleon sought to invade Russia, it was God who sent a little tiny snowflake to cause a heavy snowfall. And because of the elevation of snow, Napoleon and his army had to turn back. Can I say this again? Can I help somebody right here? Listen, no matter who you are or what you are, you cannot dismiss God. You may not believe in God, but sooner or later the power of God will manifest. I remind you that the God we know and the God we love and serve is the God who can still do anything he wants, anything he wills, and anything he wishes. Listen, God, the God we read about in the Holy Writ is the same God we serve today. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The God who stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere only to perform onto the platform of nothing, spoke everything into existence. He's the same God that parted the waters and pushed back the mountains with his fingertips is the same God who made the sun and the moon stand still, and the God who met the needs of his people for 40 years in the wilderness, it's the same God. The same God who depicts himself as a wheel in the middle of a wheel, and the God who causes dead bones in the valley to live again is the same God. The same God who rescued three teenage boys from a fiery furnace and shut the mouth of a hungry lion. The same God who ruled the course of nature, hushed the sea to sleep, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, and rose to victory over death after they put him in a grave for 3 days. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And listen, beloved, no matter who you are, you have to tremble at the power of God. He is not a God confined to days gone by, nor is the days of the past, nor is he the God locked into the chambers of the future. He is the great I am. I wish somebody would help me. So all I'm simply trying to tell you, when we tremble at this power, we better recognize that he is what we need. He is who we need. And beloved, he is all that we need. Listen, he's got all power in his hand. And no matter what we are going through or dealing with on this side, listen, we got a God who looks, sits high, but he looks low. and he is involved in the affairs of men, and we ought to tremble at his power. That's what affirmed Habakkuk is the power of God. He trembles at the power of God, but he also trusts in the providence of God. Watch this. Habakkuk sees a terrible time unfold in verse 17. He sees a time when the fig tree will not blossom, and beloved, in other words, he sees the invasion of the Chaldeans. He sees the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and the fig tree is the symbol of security and hope. It is always used to depict the entire nation of Israel. In other words, beloved, Habakkuk sees the time when the security and the hope of Judah is completely destroyed. There will be no fruit on the vine. The produce of the heaven of the olive will fail. The field will yield no food. The flock will be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stall. He sees total and complete devastation in the land of Judah. He sees a time where there will be no more figs, no more fruit, no more fold, no more flock, no more flesh, and no more finances. And all of this leads one to think that there will be no more future. But everybody shout, but, B-U-T, but, that's a conjunction. But in the midst of despair, Habakkuk found a delight. He exclaims in verse 16, he said, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. In other words, Habakkuk, through all of the turmoil and tumult, Habakkuk sees the providential hand of God. So instead of his heart racing, his heart is resting. Instead of being filled with fear, his heart is now filled with faith. Instead of travailing, he is trusting. Listen, it reminds me of one day when the house caught on fire and a little young boy was forced to flee to the roof. His father was on the ground below with outstretched arms, and he yelled to his son, jump, Johnny, jump, I'll catch you. And the little boy knew that he had to jump for his life, but all the boy could see, however, was the flames, the smoke, and blackness. The boy was afraid to jump off the roof, but his father kept yelling, jump, Johnny, jump, I'll catch you. The boy cried and protested and said, Daddy, but I can't see you. And the father says, but I can see you. That's all that matters. Can I help somebody real quick? Listen, beloved, in our times of trial, in our times of tragedy, in our times of trouble, listen, we may not be able to see the Lord, but you better recognize the Lord sees us. Is that all right to say today? Listen, and that's all that matters. I like the way Warren Wiersbe put it when he said, when we cannot trace his hand, we got to learn to trust his heart, that God sees us and he knows what we're going through. He understands all of the trials and the tribulation and the trouble that we're seeing. And listen, beloved, we got to trust that God will take care of us. That's why we used to say in days gone by that we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. Do I need to tell you again? God sees. He sees what we're going through. He sees the trials that we're dealing with. He sees the trouble that's in our way. He sees the difficulty that's happening in our land. He sees the dilemma that is happening in our life. He knows that we're paused in a pandemic. He knows of all of the social injustice that's going on in America. And listen, beloved, we better recognize it does not matter if we can see him. I'm grateful that he can see us, and he knows what we are going through. Are you listening to me? That is the ideal and the life of Habakkuk. He saw what amazed him, but he also saw what affirmed him. He saw God's power. Listen, beloved, and he also trusts in the providence of God. But lastly, beloved, watch Habakkuk's attitude. We saw what amazed him. We saw what affirmed him. But watch his attitude. Listen, Habakkuk gets a checkup from the neck up. His attitude is one that, listen, beloved, it blows me away. Habakkuk had heard the Lord's report, and he had seen the Lord's revelation. He caught a bird's eye view of wickedness, worldliness, and woefulness of his beloved Judah. The law had become paralyzed. Sin was running rampant. The rich was mistreating the poor, and the leaders are ignoring God. He sees the devastation of God's judgment and the Chaldean force as they wreak havoc upon the land. Listen, he sees a time of economic depression when the fields and the flocks and the figs and the fruit will be destroyed. He sees God withdraw his hand of blessing and extend his hand of judgment. But watch his attitude. Watch Habakkuk's attitude, which ought to be our attitude. Listen, in spite of what he saw, he trades his worry for shouting. I hope somebody hears this. Watch what he says in verse 18. He says, I saw all that. He says, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The word rejoice is alaz in the Hebrew, which literally means to jump for joy. He saw devastation. He saw deterioration. And yet he says, I'm going to jump for joy. Habakkuk may not have been able to trace God's plan, but right now he's trusting God's providence, and that providence led to triumphant praise. Can you just see Habakkuk take himself through a bit of a spell where he begins to jump for joy and rejoice when there seems to be no cause for rejoicing. An inward look bleak. The outward look bitter, but the upward look bright. When he looked to God, listen, what was so stirring about his behavior is that he is shouting in spite of his circumstances. Ooh, help me hear somebody. He said, that even though the worst is yet to come, there is no blossom on the fig tree, no fruit on the vine. The fields are unproductive. There is no fold in the flock, and the stalls will be minus the herd. He says, yet, everybody shout, yet. Yet, he says, I will rejoice. Let me give you the Kenny Ray version. Listen, he says, from here on out, I'm going to shout it out. Come on, somebody help me. He says, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to shout it out. Why? Because he is now resting in the glorious truth that God is not indifferent, inactive, nor inconsistent. He does care, and he is working on our behalf. So I'm going to shout it out. Listen, beloved, and everything will result, when I shout it out, will result in God's glory and for our good. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bleak it is, I'm going to shout it out from here on out. Listen, beloved, the prophet teaches us that we should rejoice in the Lord even when there are no answers to our prayers, even when it seems that God is 1,000 miles away and it seems as if God is doing nothing. We should and can rejoice in the Lord always, even when it seems that God is not keeping his promise. We ought to have a yet praise. I wish somebody would help me where we can still lift up his name. And listen, beloved, I know I'm looking at somebody right now that you're going through it literally in your life, but let me just help you real quick. You ought to have a yet praise. You ought to have a yet praise. You ought to say, even though I still got sickness in my body, yet I'm going to keep on praising him. Even though I lost my job, yet I'm going to keep on praising him. even though I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, I know who holds tomorrow, and I'm going to yet give God some praise. Right where you are, in your living room or your bedroom with your laptop in your hand, I double dog dare you to give God a yet praise, that you got all this stuff going on in your life, but yet you're going to keep on lifting him up. You got all this trouble and trial and tribulations, and yet you're gonna give God some praise. You ought to lift him up. You ought to thank God. You ought to tell God, I love you. You ought to give God a yet praise right where you are, in spite of your circumstance, in spite of what you're going through, in spite of your difficulty. You ought to give God a yet praise. He says, I'm going to trade my worry for shouting. And listen, beloved, not only does he trade, watch his attitude, not only does he trade his worry for shouting, he trades his weakness for strength. Watch this. He says, verse 19, God, the Lord is my strength. Listen, there were no resources of strength, but yet he is still strong. Why? Because he realizes that God is his song. God is his salvation, and God is his strength. When you get to the end of this chapter, you'll find that Habakkuk writes to the choir master with the string instruments. It is literally a hymn that was sung. Are you listening to me? He says, God is my song. His problem had been swallowed up by praise because God was still on the throne. And notice what he does not say, that he would get strength from the Lord. He says, the Lord is my strength. He says, the Lord is his strength. He is now resting in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, but he indicates that I am literally relying on the Lord. Here's the word of the day, beloved, because what I've discovered, that it's easy for things to discourage, defeat, and distress us, but let the Lord be your strength. Write that down, if you would, that whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, let the Lord be your strength. He don't have to make you strength. You just got to learn to lean on him. He don't have to make you strong. You just rest in his strength. Do I need to tell you that there's nothing on this earth that is stronger than Almighty God? And I like what he says, because listen, beloved, he says, make my feet like deer's feet. He says, make me tread on high places. You see, beloved, what he's simply trying to say is that as the sure-footed deer scale the precipitous mountain heights without slipping, so has my faith in the Lord enabled me to endure the hardships of imminent invasion and hang in there in the midst of all my perplexing questions. He says, God, what I need you to do is make me like the sure-footed deer, that as I climb higher to look to you, He says, I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to be sure-footed, because you have made my feet like deer's feet. You have made me to stand. I hope you hear me. And it will be you that takes me higher and higher, even though I can't see what the end is going to be. Are you listening to me? It reminds me that when Columbus was sailing in search of a direct route for the Indies, the West Indies, his men sought to persuade him to turn around. Things became so bad that they even threatened him with mutiny. It is said that in the ship's log were found these words day after day. Today we sailed on, still no land in sight, but we sailed on. Can I just shout you real quick, beloved? Because that's what I want to tell you. That's the whole book of Habakkuk. That even though, beloved, there may be no sight in, no land in sight, we got to sail on. Even though there may be no changes today, we got to keep on sailing. I hope somebody hears me. On the good ship of Zion, we got to keep on sailing, because one day there will be land and God will show up. Are you listening to me? So keep on sailing to see what the end is going to be. Keep on sailing in spite of your circumstances. Keep on sailing, because listen, we can rejoice in the Lord, for the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, is our strength. Can I help you real quick? As a matter of fact, do I need to tell you, don't just sail on, but serve on. Listen, beloved, because he's a bridge over troubled waters. We got to work on, because listen, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We got to pray on, because God's plan is being worked on. And can I say, we got to fight on, beloved, because I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of my Savior bidding me still to fight on. And can I tell you that he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. So I tell the world, I'm going to keep on fighting on. I'm going to keep on serving on. I'm going to keep on working on. I'm going to keep on sailing on until I see what the end is going to be. Am I right about it? And I have to ask again, God, will it get any better like Habakkuk? And I want to say to you, as long as God is still on the throne, as long as God is still in charge, as long as God is still in control, we can look ahead to a brighter day, and we can look ahead to a better day. And do I need to tell you that the best is yet to come? So hang on in there, children. Know that God will make a way out of no way. Hang in there, beloved, because God will see us through. Hang in there, beloved, and keep on working for the Lord. Keep your hand on the gospel plow and watch God work it out. In the end, we're going to win. Will it get any better? Yes, there is a bright side somewhere. Is that all right to say? There's a great getting up morning. There's a day when we will need no more sun or moon to light the skies, because we've got the Lord and the brightness of his glory. Whoo, help me hear somebody. That is the push for every Christian. Not that today is going to be your breakthrough. No, it may not be today. Not that today every dream that you have is coming through. No, it may not happen. But all what we do know for sure is that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And when he calls us home, there is the dawn of a bright new day. Listen, beloved, all that shoddy preaching that tells you that you about to get yours right now, you about to get your breakthrough, Habakkuk tells us that in spite of all of that, in spite of the devastation and the dilemma and the challenges, you got to trust in Almighty God. Because God promised to get us to the end. And in the end, in the end, we win. So hang in there. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God will make your feet like deer's feet, to where you're able to hang in there on his strength. And he will take you to higher places. Oh, yes, he will. And so that's our hope today. And listen, beloved, that's what keeps us rolling. That's what keeps us moving. That's what keeps us pushing. That's what keeps us serving and working. That's what makes us come to choir rehearsal and Bible study. That's what makes us serve on the usher ministry or serve at the convalescent home. Because we know a brighter day is coming and we got to keep our hand on the gospel plow. And I'm encouraging all of us to make a commitment, a recommitment again today that in spite of all of what's going on, I'm committed in my trust in Almighty God. And I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to see His power. I'm going to see His providential hand. And I know that He's going to see me through. Let me pray for you real quick. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love you so much. You are such an awesome God. And you said that in this world we shall have tribulations. But you told us to be of good cheer. For you have overcome the world. Help us to realize every single day that we're already overcomers, that we're more than conquerors, that in spite of what it looks like, that in the end we win. So give us courage to fight on, give us strength to keep on, give us the faith to keep trusting in you. And help us not to look to the right nor to the left, but help us to keep our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Listen. Hallelujah. We thank Rebecca, for it gives us an optimistic look at life. Even though it's tough, even though it's challenging, He gives us an optimistic look at life. And listen, beloved, if you're here today and you don't see or understand this optimism, listen, maybe you've never invited Christ into your heart. Maybe you've never invited Christ into your heart. Saints are praying right now. There might be somebody out there who's dealing with all of these challenges, all of this difficulty, all of this devastation that's in the world. And you don't know where to turn. And you don't know who to turn to. And I want to suggest to you today, turn to God. Because God can make us see clearly that He is in control of this world and what's going on. And you need to, in order to do that, you've got to have a right relationship with Him. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. You're out there today and you say, I've never invited Christ into my heart. I want to extend the invitation to you right now. You're listening to me over the internet. And listen, maybe over the radio, listen, you need to give your life to the Lord right now. There's a number that's flashing across the screen. And listen, call that number and someone will lead you to know the Lord for yourself. Lead you through the Word of God to see what God's Word says concerning salvation. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to the Lord, I extend the invitation to you. But also if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I don't have a church home. Listen. You might find a church just as good as St. Paul, but you ain't gonna find one any better. This is a good place to call home, a place where you can grow, and where the people of God will wrap their arms around you to help you to mature in the Lord. We've got classes designed to help you to grow in God. That's why the Bible declares that we gotta desire the pure milk of the Word that we might grow. If you wanna be a strong Christian, a faithful Christian, listen, your search can end today by becoming part of the St. Paul family. Listen, the same number called. If you want to be part of this family, you want me to be your pastor and this church to be your church family, come on. Call that same number that's rolling across the screen, and someone will lead you on how to be part of the St. Paul family in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some praise. It is good again to worship God on this day. And let me just say, I want to encourage you to continue giving. I want to thank God for all of you who have been faithfully giving. Amen. And you can keep playing. Who've been faithfully giving, we want to ask you even right now, as you purpose in your heart to give, there's still a lot of work for us to do there until the Lord comes back. And what we're trying to do is continue the 5-star that our pastor emeritus so faithfully laid. We want to continue to do God the right way with 5-star. We don't want to shortchange God. You don't shortchange God at your home. Come on, somebody help me. So we don't want to shortchange God here. So, and it is through your faithful giving that we're able to do what we do, to carry out the mission and the mandate of this church. We still got staff to hire. We still got concrete that needs to be repaired and a sound system. We're trying to do all of that. And it is through your faithful giving. We're trying to increase our giving to our youth and our children and all of that, and pour our resources into those ways. And so I need your help. So I want to encourage you to continue giving. You've been faithful. And I just want to thank God for you, for your giving. Let's give God some praise for those who have been faithful in their giving. Oh, my God. Yes. Amen. So that is it. I want to also let you know just one quick thing, that we still will be in discussion with this reopening. As you can see in the news again, there's a mutant strand that has risen up and all of that. So we got to be careful and we got to be safe. We got to make sure that we're hearing God, as it says, to open up. And I hear you already saying, well, Pastor, there are other churches who already opened up, and they already, you know, maybe that's what God was saying to them. But we're in the process of looking at it and reviewing it. So be patient with us as we make sure that we keep everyone safe, that we're doing what God says, and we want to do that. And so I pray that you are still getting tested and that you're still getting vaccinated on various days. Also, let me just remind those, some of you may not know, our very own sister Velma Larry is retiring as music director, and we want to thank God for her faithfulness, for her commitment. Hallelujah. I'm saying that on a Sunday morning, and I want us to express in greater detail our love for her and our thanks to her, and we'll celebrate her in the days to come. And so I'm grateful for her faithfulness, and I'm sure Dr. Williams will get with her at a later date and talk with her as well, and let her know of we're grateful for her faithfulness. Sister Elette Chambers will be our interim, so let's lift her in prayer until we find the right replacement for Sister Larry. It's a major task to lead the St. Paul Music Ministry. Hello, somebody. Amen. And so we don't want just anybody. We want who God sends our way. And I want somebody who's going to last and stay with me as long as I'm pastor, whether it be 3 days or 30 years. I need somebody to stay with me. Hello, somebody. Just like Sister Larry stayed with Dr. Williams, I need somebody to hang in there with me. So let's lift that area in prayer as we move on. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today, and we shall see you Wednesday and see you then next Sunday. And we thank God for all of you who tuned in. Let's pray together. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before his throne of grace, unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore. And together, every child of God shouted amen. 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 God bless you. We'll see you next week.